The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio in Cherokee and Gordon Wolf of the Denison Bulletin and Review. The first question will come from KCHE's Nikki.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for talking with us once again today.
I'm glad to do that.
All right. Well, maybe you can go ahead and comment on the President's State of the Union address and also your thoughts on your freshman colleague, Joni Ernst.
Well, the president was trying to be and was very obstinate and confrontational. And that's not bad news if that's where he's setting out a negotiating position. But if he doesn't care anything about negotiating with Congress, then that's bad news. And so that's the best I can say for it. The substance of it was the usual left-wing philosophy that you've been getting from him for a long time. Some agreement with Republican on trade and tax reform, but not tax increases things like that. Then in regard to Joni Ernst, she came out of that with flying colors. Every review that I've read has been very positive. It's a very difficult position to be in. Some predecessors of hers over the course of the last 10 or 15 years have not done so well. And I just think that she's got the proper poise and presentation and presence that is kind of a natural for her. And she did very well. And not only for representing Iowa, the nation, but also the Republican Party. And that was the Republican rebuttal that she did.
I wondered if you've had enough time in the new session now to kind of compare the atmosphere of this Senate as opposed to the one just last December, makeup of it?
Yeah. Well, do you mean the new members, or are you talking about how we do things?
How you do things.
Oh, yes. That's fairly visible right now, almost the first week we're in session, and visible right now. I'll give you a statistic. Before the the Keystone XL pipeline debate is done, we will have more votes on amendments than Reid had all last year. And I've heard 18 or 21 votes is all we had in 12 months last year. Just in the first two or three weeks of the session, we'll have more amendments. And they'll be both Republican and Democrat amendments or bipartisan amendments. So that's one way. Reid shut down the Senate as a deliberative body and as an amending body, even shutting out people of his own political party. He did it to protect the president from having to veto or protecting his own people from having to take tough votes. So we were told a long time before the election, if Republicans get in the majority as Republicans, you better expect to take tough votes because the Democrat minority is going to make sure that we take tough votes, just like a Republican minority would do the same thing. And so we're functioning as the Senate was meant to function under the Constitution as described by James Madison in the United States Senate, in the Federalist Papers. So the United States Senate is going to be productive, and right now is showing that productivity, for the last 3 or 4 years did very little because of the way Reid ran the Senate.
All right. Yeah, and going back to Joni Ernst, what are your thoughts on the comment she meant by saying Americans feel they are working too hard and less and less to show for it? If that's the case, how could the federal government help on that?
Well, that comes from two standpoints. One, there aren't jobs being created the way they should. Now, you can tell me we've had so many new jobs this year, which is very good. But there are jobs that are part-time. There's not the usual wage growth that you have. There's not the increase in productivity you usually have. So what she's telling you is the hardworking American taxpayers are basically standing still. And what we can do about that is several things. One, there's too much government regulation that people don't want to invest when they don't know what the federal government's going to do to screw them the next day. Number two, taxes, particularly corporate taxes, are the highest in the globe, and so that makes us economically uncompetitive. Obamacare is having companies cut people back from 40 hours to 29 hours in order to be part-time. So a lot of people are losing a lot of hours. And it's things of that nature that are a major problem. Well, and you asked me what we can do about it. One example is a bill that will be up soon in the House after the XL pipeline, up in the Senate. It's already passed the House, is describing 40 hours as a full-time job as opposed to 30 hours, which is what it is in Obamacare.
Are you sure that the corn ethanol mandate will be removed from the renewable fuel standard under the amendment attached to the XL pipeline?
I don't.
Or Keystone Pipeline. And how do you respond to statements made by the amendment sponsors who say corn ethanol is raising the price of food?
Well, they said that when corn was $7. They can't say it when corn is $3.50. They could say that when... Well, that's basically it. That's the arguments that they use. And so they're very intellectually honest or dishonest if they're still making those same arguments. The other thing is, yes, I expect to fight, not on the XL pipeline. Now, I know the amendment's been filed, but I don't think they're going to consider this their battleground. But we're going to have to defend the RFS before the year's out. And the one thing that favors us is, unlike, let's say, the biodiesel tax credit, you have to renew that every year. RFS is permanent law, so they got to get the votes to repeal it. And if we can keep 41 people in the United States Senate together, we can stop them from ever getting a finality on that point.
What are your thoughts about President Obama's talk on the community college plan, and how will that work?
Well, I hope I'm right when I say this, because I got this information from their press releases. It applies to liberal arts students and not to voc tech students. And I think that's unfair to part of the people that go to community colleges. But the other thing is, I don't want to federalize community college education. And I think when you start getting the federal government that involved in education, they're going to have more control over it. And then I don't know how it is in the other 49 states, but we don't want to screw up our community colleges in Iowa. And I always tell community college people the most important of the two words, community college, is not college, it's community. We've got an organization, 15 of them, in Iowa. We got a lot more campuses than that, but we got 15 organizations that can do almost anything for a community that needs it done. And we want to make sure we preserve that. Then there's one last thing, and that is, you're talking about a $60 billion program that I don't think can get support, a new program, because we want to continue to help kids going to community college. Like, for instance, a large share of the people in community colleges get Pell Grants. And so it really not a problem for them. We need to make sure that we keep the community colleges strong, and with $18 trillion debt, not increase that debt by another $60 billion. Back to Gordon, and you will probably have the last question.
Thank you, Senator. Coming from the state that produces the most volume of eggs in the nation, have you been made aware of any detriment now that the California law on cage space has gone into effect? And do you think Congress will have to step in, or will the market resolve any issues that arise.
No, the president will have, the Congress will have to step in, because only the Congress has the power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce, and the California law violates that constitutional provision. At least they violate it until we say California can't do it, but constitutionally we can tell California they can't have a different law. And so I'm going to, if we get legislation up, I'm going to vote to have the federal government regulate interstate commerce and not let California indirectly regulate foreign commerce, because they're affecting the amount that can be sold from any state to California. And so that's bad. But I haven't heard anything new. But going back over the last 2 years, we heard from a lot of the smaller egg producers in Iowa that it's going to be very costly to them and hurt their business. Thank you, Nikki and Gordon, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.